2. I'm actually very pleased over the feedback we had from week one. People were glad to have this back and back listening. So thank you for the support on that. And hopefully the content that you get from this is something that you can take away, implement, or you just enjoy listening. Following on from last week with regards to making I can't even remember what I spoke about last week, making the connection between health and fitness, or health and nutrition, sorry, brings me to something that is, I guess, quite common within most people's training. A very common goal is obviously losing weight, and with that is you know, body fat and people trying to lose that. So for a lot of us, we can have this attitude of like, we're going to ride the wave now, we're going to have social bunny activities through, or be a social bunny through the next few weeks and stuff. And we have actually spoke about this in previous podcasts over the last couple of years. But hopefully today you can take away some things and actually they might resonate and you think, oh, actually that's something I need to fix. So trouble with losing body fat. For a lot of us, we have been training consistently. We've gone through stages through eating right. I know even for me, from a personal perspective, that's something that I have battled with at times. But there's a lot of variables in this that I'm going to say today that I can personally relate to. So we've been training consistently, we've been eating right, but we still tend to have trouble losing our body fat. So we kind of need to troubleshoot that, and it fits into to two categories really: simple and complex issues. The simple issues address the hidden things that we may not be aware of, and once we fix those, and give that, you know, 100% worth of effort, then everything else can and will start to melt the fat away, let's say. So complex issues tend to be more with regards to hormonal or metabolic imbalances. So in short, that your body is not running as well, it's not functioning as well as it could be. And if, you know, if there's something that's not working in those complex with those complex issues, then all the, you know, high intensity interval training, let's say lower carb, all those things in the world that you're doing, you know, whether it be ice baths and all those stuff, that none of those are going to help you get to where you want to be. So we'll try and go through both of those things as best as possible. But starting with one of the main reasons that we might have trouble, and excuse me, because I'm going to keep, unfortunately, sniffing. I'll try my best not to, just recovering from a little bit of a cold, is restricting or not restricting our carbohydrates enough. And I don't like to use the word restricting, it's actually probably not the right word, but not managing them well enough. If for a lot of us, you know, that we're overweight, we're obviously excessively eating in that category, as well as the fat content. So managing our carbohydrates, it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you have to go on a really low carb, but most people, you know, depending on your weight, because it's all relevant to the individual, you're going to have anything between like 180 to 300 grams of carbs per day. And obviously this depends on the goal that you wish to get out of training, or however you want to look and perform and all those things. So trying to avoid going on low carb and high protein, I mean, it's not necessarily the most, it depends on your definition of how low is, right? So carbohydrates are our main source of energy. So anytime that we move, that's where we get that energy from. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't have them. I'm all for them. I'm actually very much pro carbohydrates, but you need to manage the amount that you're having. As I said, finding out your body weight is a good indicator of that. And that will tell you, in a way, there's loads of formulas, secret formulas. But one way that we use is that we find your body weight in pounds. So we convert that kilo into pounds, and then we times that by 15, which seems to be like an activity multiplier. So someone who's fairly active would be 15, someone who's really, really active, you might be 17, but 15 tends to work really well for most that fit in that category. And that will give you your required calories for the day, okay, for you to have as that weight. And if you're looking to reduce that weight, you're looking at 15% deficit. So take that sum away from the calories that you're supposed to have on the day, and that will give you your new reduced total amount. And then we find 40% of that and that will give us our calories or our carbohydrates for the day. So if you look at that and they split those into four meals, you probably think, you know, if you're someone that has like meal deals and sugary drinks and stuff, and you're supposed to only have in that meal like 60 to 70 grams of carbohydrates, you add that bottle of Coke, you add that sandwich. I can't say sandwich, by the way. If you know me, you'll understand that I have a problem saying that word correctly, proper English. If you add, whether it be a piece of fruit, you add some crisps, or even if you are having, you've making the choice to eat and make your stuff from home, even if you look at like a bowl of rice or you have pasta, it's like you have to look at the quantity of that. So rather than using the word restricting, I'm probably going to go with the word managing. So you need to manage those carbohydrates, because if you can, that's going to be a good starting point for you. And I'm not saying that it will fix all the problems, but certainly will address quite a lot. Now, if you have too little, it will be very hard for you to function. And this is what tends to happen when people start to change in the diet. Like after 3-4 days, they're just so fatigued. They just can't do it anymore. They're just not getting what they need from food. So find that balance, find that formula for you, and put that into play. And if that's something that works for you, fantastic. You found your optimum amount of carbohydrates. And obviously, the more you perform and train and things like that, you may need more. And reduction in weight, it might mean that you need less, depending on your lifestyle. So have a look at that. The second thing is actually very common, but people don't realize that they do this, and it's not weight training effectively. So what I would look for someone who is looking to reduce their body fat is that they need to make sure that they're lifting adequate amount of weight to receive that stimulus to, you know, the intention of lifting heavy to maintain muscle during your kind of, let's say, fat loss phase of training. Now, one thing that it's very common for me that I see is that we don't track our progressions. So training should have, especially weight training, if we're looking at whether it's CrossFit that you're doing, and for a lot of the guys that, you know, we communicate with, that is what they do. But week on week, we should look at progressive overload. So if we're in our back squat, we are looking at 1 week we're doing, you know, whether it be 60%, then the following week we're at 62.5 or 65. And even if you don't know what those percentages are, that you just want to make sure that each week you're going with an increase in weight. So if you're using 10 kilo 1 week, you want to make sure that you're going to try and use 12.5 kilo the following week. However, that's for the strength part, but I would also say to consider what you guys do within your WODs. So if you have a weight that is too light within your WODs, now I'm going off track, but coming back a little bit, if you have a weight that's too light, you're not going to get the required intensity out of that workout. And your workout kind of comes, the easiest way for me to explain this is it becomes really much more cardio based, and it's a point that I'll bring up later. However, if you go too heavy, it's that we're just not strong enough at that stage to do that. So it's about finding that weight that's enough to keep you going, but enough that allow it to slows you down a little bit for you to recover. Mainly, I would say for most of us, is that if we can look at focusing firstly on the progressive overload every single week, whatever that lift might be, there's a little bit of an increase. Now, obviously, with regards to Olympic weightlifting, that can be a little bit more difficult because of the high skill that's required. So if it is the case that you are looking for something or just simply training, you know, your simple squat, deadlift, presses or benches or whatever that might be, that you're trying to increase that overload, excuse me, every single week, that's going to really help you. And timings are important too, right? So generally, you know, we apply anywhere between 60 to 90 seconds rest in that strength training, because, and sometimes there's gonna be a need for 3 minutes. Obviously, the higher we go, the longer rest we need. But if you're not getting adequate rest, you're not gonna be able to perform or recover as well to be able to lift that next weight. So that's a consideration. So if you look at now getting the right amount of carbohydrates for your day, managing those, and we look at an we look at a essentially managing our weight training more effectively, so we're applying the overload, the principle of progressive overload, we can then look at there's validation in training for both doing cardio long duration and intervals. Okay, so obviously the kind of complete opposites, but interval training is probably going to be a little bit more effective at this stage where you can of training. So sprint training, for example, or something that requires you to, you know, go max out effort is a very powerful fat loss tool. And obviously it gives you a feeling that, you know, training is hard and you need to recover, but it gives you a lot more back in terms of fat loss than it does if you were to do long distance. Now, don't get me wrong, there is an absolute purpose for long distance or long duration. I'm all for that. Some zone two stuff is fantastic for building that engine base and looking at striking that fat loss. But you're going to get more from doing sprint training than you are from long duration aerobic. So steady state cardio, you know, particularly on a stationary bike for long periods, or you know, whether it be a ski or row or something like that, is you'll still get good results, but it's unlikely to give you that kind of stepping stone that you need, really. And it's a much longer process. There is research that suggests that steady state aerobic training is not only ineffective for fat loss, but actually can be a little bit detrimental in some ways. But I think, again, this goes back to a combination of both. I think majority of your training, this is why CrossFit has been so popular and so effective for a lot of people, because there is a lot of interval-based work within CrossFit. You know, there is also the long duration and lower heart rate, but that is now down to the individual. And I guess understanding their body and their output to be able to perform at that intensity or a lower intensity for long periods of time. Sorry, just taking a sip of my coffee. Another thing which I think that we're probably very unaware of is having a bad gut. Now, that can inhibit fat loss quite a lot too. So, you know, bad bacteria, where you can take a probiotic to help combat that. Chronic inflammation of the gut, such as things that you might be intolerant to dairy, gluten. I've actually found out over the last, I think, 7-8 months, I think it is, that I found out, I kind of sourced it myself, or found out, sussed it out myself, that without any tests or anything, that I think I am lactose intolerant. For years, I've been having full-fat coffee, full-fat yogurt, and I do feel a lot better from removing that. Now, I've moved over to oat milk, but now there is a lot of research to suggest that oat milk is actually one of the worst for you because of the artificial stuff that goes in it. So I'm possibly going to look into making my own oat milk, so that I know what's in it, but also opting for almond. With regards to, you know, yogurts and stuff, that's something that I've also changed for me. And I have found that I tend to digest food better. So rather than having full fat yogurt, you know, I generally would eat or have been eating that Faye that comes in the blue and pink. And I had that for years, but now have opted for a plant-based, I'd never thought I'd say that, oat-based yogurt. So a bad gut can contribute to, inhibit some your fat loss efforts. I don't know too much about it, but there is, you know, low stomach acid, I believe, breaking down food and things like that. And so maybe it's worth checking that out. So if you are someone who's dairy, I'm not saying you have to completely change, but just see if there makes any difference. Whether you feel you sleep better, you're not as, I mean, you can hear in my voice that I'm a little bit under the weather, but sometimes when people have dairy, they wake up very phlegmy in the morning, very nasally. And that could be something that you measure as a change. One of the other topics to discuss and also think about is And I think this is very common when people first get into, let's say, the diet game, let's say, or start to look at body composition, is the deficiency they have from nutrients. Because I think that, in my experience, a lot of people focus, and you know, openly, I think I'm a bit subject to talking about it too much, is that we focus so much on protein, fats, and carbs, and actually don't look at with regards to the nutrients around that. Excuse me. So there are, you know, oh my God, sorry, that coffee went down the wrong way. There are a lot of nutrients that our body can benefit from that we might not, you know, get by just focusing so much on fats, proteins, and carbs. Fish oils, magnesium. A lot of us are probably deficient in vitamin D, especially in the UK. I mean, it's possible, but trying to, you know, get out in the daylight a little bit more. Sometimes for guys that still can, you know, still working from home, and girls working from home, that you might even find that throughout the whole day, you don't even leave the house. And I know at times when I've worked from home, there have been days that I haven't left the house. So we do lack in that. So you can solve these by getting a blood test and testing for these, and it's easy for them to spot those. And you know, whether that means that, I mean, ideally, if that's something that you do get done, you have a blood test, and then you look to implement those things, ideally, you're going to get that from your food, right? You're going to want to avoid getting them from tablets and stuff. You're going to want to make sure that you're getting the foods that have those vitamins and minerals that you're lacking, because that's going to be a lot better for us. Now, one thing that has personally affected me quite a lot is not sleeping enough. Now, this is very individualized. Everyone needs different levels of sleep. You get some people that can do 4 hours, 5 hours. Some people need 7, 8. I think I do well with like 8/9. But this also links into stress, which I'll talk on our next point. But it can actually mess everything up with lack of sleep. You tend to feel hungrier. You make poor food choices, and you can actually eat, you know, because you feel hungry, you end up eating a lot more. I know for the days where I've got up earlier than anticipated, just through schedule, I found myself a lot more hungrier. And, you know, I have made those bad decisions myself to go and get some of those foods. Insulin sensitivity and glucose tolerance drop completely, or I say completely, drop a lot when you're sleep deprived. And your body tends to shift or stays in a bit more of a fat storage mode when you're sleep deprived. So it is important it's almost like a safety blanket for your body. So it is important to regulate your sleep. You know, wake up same time, go to bed same time, get that same amount of sleep, because otherwise if you're putting all this work in and you're finding that you're not actually aesthetically changing much, then and you're doing everything else, that's going to be one of the contributing factors. So some people, or some men rather, can expect or have found through research a drop in testosterone when sleep deprived. And through some of the articles and stuff that I've read for today's podcast, both sexes can suffer from lower growth hormone release both sexes suffer from lower growth hormone release since you experience the bulk of growth hormone release during sleep. In addition, lack of sleep leads to high cortisol, inhibiting the body's ability to burn fat. So if you can't make a sleep priority, then you might be in a situation that where you're going to constantly battle to lose that fat. And from my own personal experience, I can tell you that's something I have struggled with, you know, not getting enough sleep for my body, and which has also contributed to the fact of dropping or not being able to drop certain, you know, body fat percentages. I've gone through cycles where I've been really, really athletic, really in shape, really lean, to making bad choices with food and having a little bit of weight gain. And a lot of it is down to sleep, and then the next thing of being stressed. However, I will say, going back to sleep very quickly, you can improve your sleep quality quite quite easily if you put your put time into it and effort into it. So you can make sure that you're in complete darkness. There's no TV in the background. You're trying to avoid using your phone for quite a while. And these are things that I'm still trying to develop. Sometimes I do it well. A lot of the time I don't. I actually bought one of those Lumi lights for, I think, Christmas last year, which had, when I first started using it, had a real good impact because I was rising with the light that came on through the alarm. And equally, you can put it on for when you go to sleep, so the light fades out. And it worked wonders. Then obviously you get a bit complacent and then, you know, start going back to routines of using phone again or watching too much TV before bed or whatever. But it all depends on your lifestyle. Like if you're getting, you know, getting late and your downtime is you seeing TV, you have to weigh up, like, you know, if your downtime's an hour, maybe cut that. You still have an hour's downtime, but where you might watch TV for an hour, watch it for half hour and then come off that 30 minutes early. So moving back onto the point I was getting to, another contributing factor is stressed out all the time. The effects of stress is often underappreciated for its role in fat loss. Chronic stress is very important, and you need to address it, especially, you should address it anyway, but especially if you're on your journey for, you know, an optimum weight or feel or look, and it's not happening. So persistent stress leads to cortisol segregation, and cortisol's secretion. What am I talking about? And its primary function, stress, cortisol, is to increase your blood sugar. So bringing it with an insulin spike, or bringing it up to an insulin spike. So bringing it up with, I don't know what's wrong with me today. Bringing it with an insulin spike, your blood sugar. So you have enough energy to get through that stressful situation. So when this becomes chronic, it kind of produces inflammation of some, you know, let's say internal body systems, I probably say is the best way to put it, which means that the body's not working the right way anymore. And everything is out of line, and your body's not regulating as well as it could be. People try to meditate, people go to therapy, some people are on tablets. I mean, I wouldn't encourage that. But you need to look at life and look at the things that are really stressing you out. Now, for a lot of us, it's probably going to be work. And I would try to, I mean, work, we all need to work, and work is going to be there. So I would say, what is it at work that is stressing, and what can you eliminate? So a lot of us tend to work over hours and work way past than what we're expected to do. And the reality is that whatever you had to do today, if you can't get it done, could probably be done tomorrow. But we build this life around us that we have to do it today. And the reality is, the person on the other end is probably not feeling the same way about it as you are. And they, when they get your email or they get that, whatever it is, meeting deadlines and what, then they look at it and they're probably not excited as how much stress that you put in. However, going to the point of deadlines, if you've got deadlines and you know, you're going to say, oh, but I need to meet them. Well, that's fine. We all have to meet deadlines. But could you pre-plan? If you've got a six-week deadline, you need to make sure that within that 6 weeks, you've done an X amount of work or whatever it is for that project, email or design or whatever it is, so that you can get that done. So that come the 6 week mark, you're not behind. You're actually, you've bought some time because you're not rushed, you're not stressed, you've completed what you need to do, and you've ticked off boxes every single day working towards that project that you needed to do. I mean, try it, see if it can only help, right? Well, hopefully. So we just to recap, we've gone through different reasons that you can try. One of them is managing carbohydrate intake, making it effective towards you, looking at weight training more effectively, so applying progressive overload, interval-based training if you're not already doing that, rather than so much long distance. And for some people, they enjoy long distance and they say, you know, I'm going for a 5 or 10K run, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't need to be your main source of energy expenditure. Intervals is going to be more effective. We looked at possibly having a bad gut and nutrient deficiency. So find out if one of those two things is affecting you. Sleep, we spoke about stress as well. And it's possible also that you may have a medical condition and you might be able to find that through some of the blood tests if you're someone that gets one of those done. So you could have low iron, low B12, which are, you know, very common deficiencies. You could have chronically low blood sugar. Who knows? You could have a condition that you're unaware of. So it's trying to discover that if there is a medical condition. If you can find that out, that's going to solve quite a few problems because you'll be able to live a lifestyle that you can match dealing with that medical condition or to improve that medical condition. The last is very common is meal frequency. Now, when I sit down with people, I talk to them about their nutrition and I ask them, you know, how many times a day they eat. A lot. It doesn't surprise me. Like say that, you know, twice a day or once or twice a day. Intermittent fasting has had its time. And, you know, people do say that it helps with body composition, but it doesn't work for everyone. And, you know, I know there's people who have done it for years and it works for them and that's fine. But I think for the average person, it's not. And you say, well, I'm not average. But the thing is, we need to control our food and regulate that. And you're not able to do that. So I would really say you're looking at your meal frequency. If it's not what, you know, if intermittent fasting, some things you try and it's not working for you. If you're a female and of, let's say, reproductive age, you might experience much better fat loss results from eating 5 or 6 meals a day from having a more stable blood sugar management throughout those meals. And, you know, reason is when you don't eat, you do often experience low blood glucose. And then things like adrenaline is released to elevate your blood sugar to help you keep going. So eating regularly, you know, leads to avoiding that. And if you don't, eat regularly, this can lead to, you know, high spikes in glucose and insulin, causes insulin resistance to impede, let's say, on your fat loss. It's starving yourself or going, no, I wouldn't say starving yourself, that's a bit much, but long times without food. It's just a classic example of a broken body. We have to feed it. We have to fuel it. It's the same for men too, by the way. So we don't want to go long distance or long times without food. We do want to aim. I mean, generally, I would always advise someone to try and have 4 meals. You know, their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Let's say, and they put their snack either between their breakfast and lunch, or between their lunch and dinner. Or even after their workout, that might be their thing. So you can, I think even for men, well, I guess even for women, skipping a lot of meals and not eating a lot, eating more regularly can even lead to something like adrenal dysfunction. So look at this as one of the things, analyze how often you're eating. And if it is 3 times, could you, I mean, if you've got your calories down to, I say calories, if you've got your body maintenance down to a T, could you look at spreading that over four or five meals? And the last few things to look at is, could it be something else? Could it be your sedentary lifestyle, which for most of you listening, it's probably not going to be that, because especially if you're one of the guys that actually physically comes to our facility, you're going to be someone who's training regularly. So you probably have come from that in the past, but it's probably no longer you. You could also be, I don't want to rustle a few feathers here, but it could also be the fact that there's a blind spot in your diet, like maybe vegetarian, and you're eating way more than you think, or you're not getting enough of what you need from the foods that you're having. You're maybe too excessive on one of the food groups and you're not getting enough of the other. Maybe you're not eating real food. Everything is, you know, smoothie based, like in a shake. And whilst that works for people, and there's ways to help people have to regulate more foods, get those in frequently. Like, you know, if you're struggling with time, sometimes something like a smoothie, which is packed with all the things that you need, can be efficient. But your body needs to go through that whole eating process. So not eating, you know, the real food. Some of the stuff is, you know, protein bars, and we've all been there. We've all done that. I would say for a lot of us, we should just try to eat whole foods. If obviously we're meat eaters, we're going to go as close to, you know, fresh organic meat. Obviously, that comes within a budget too. But fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. The things that you know, the surprising thing is when we try to lose weight is for most of us, we know what we need to do. We just don't know how to do it. Hopefully some of these things that we talk about today gives you the stepping stone that you need to go off and do it. And if you don't know how to do it, just reach out and we can have a conversation about it. The last thing is alcohol. And I think I've said this in many of podcasts before, is that if some people probably listen to this that it may affect that. Sometimes I look at friends that I haven't seen for a long time, and I know their social life, as in I know that they enjoy alcohol, and you can see the weight gain through alcohol. It's just excessive. It doesn't need to be. You want to. I'm not saying don't drink alcohol. I'm just saying that you need to manage how and when you drink and how much of it you drink it. But you then have to weigh up what's more important to you. We are all about, life is all about balance. We all know that. Can you have a glass of wine or beer? Can you train? Can you recover? Can you do all those things at the same time? Yes, but it requires a lot of discipline. And there's three things that you need, right? There's flexibility, consistency, and accuracy. And you need an element of those things. If you're too accurate within what you eat and drink, you're going to be very inflexible. You're going to be very inconsistent. If you're very inflexible within your choices, you're also going to be inconsistent. So the idea is that you're kind of semi-accurate with the things that you need to have. So for example, I guess that rule is like 80-20 or 90-10, whatever you want to go by. You want to be consistent pretty much all the time. That's fine. There's going to be times where you're not going to be so consistent, and that's okay, but you need to get back onto that road straight away. And you need to be flexible with your choices. You know, you can't stay on that. I mean, some people can, but for majority of us, we can't, and that's why we need the three elements: consistency, flexibility, and accuracy. Have a flexible approach to all three. Obviously, not leaning too much away from each other. If you think, I don't even know what the right terminology is for it, but if you were to draw three circles, the bit that joins them in the middle, that's the bit that you want. You want a dosage. That's the kind of like the bulk of it. You want those three things to overlap. So you're a little bit of everything. And not too far, I think Venn diagram maybe, I don't know, who knows. But you need a little bit of each one. So I hope that you found this beneficial. You just need to find out of those reasons what one is affecting you the most. I think if you can prioritize sleep for a lot of it and reducing stress, then work on the other stuff. That's the order I would go in, because that affects me the most. But for some of you, you may want to prioritize the progressive overload. You might want to prioritize the management of your carbohydrates. That's completely up to you. Find out what works for you. But we'll see you soon, or we'll hear from you soon. And any questions, let us know. I look forward to seeing you next week.